Hallelujah and praise God and welcome to this teaching, Tongues for the Children. Praise God. You know, one of the greatest things that I find in difficulty of one another in the body of Christ is tongues. There's so many, everyone has their own interpretations of tongues, and some say that it was only used in the beginning of the first church. Some say that it's only a gift for certain people. Some say that you're not supposed to use it for this, you're not supposed to use it for that. Well, let me tell you a couple of things before we even get started. Remember that all things are of God. And God gives us gifts, like he gives the gift of salvation. We can either receive it or reject it. We can either keep God in a box and say he can't do this, he can't do that, or we can let God out of the box and say that he can do all things. You know, the Bible says that God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. The Bible also says that my people perish for lack of knowledge. Jesus came to bring us the sword of the Holy Spirit, the Word of God. And in this Word of God, from cover to cover, is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So Jesus still does miracles today. He still fills people with the Holy Spirit and baptizes them with the Holy Spirit. People still pray in tongues. People still lay their hands on the sick and they're healed. So all of these things are gifts from God, and we don't want to reject them, we want to receive them. Now, I just want to give you a personal testimony very quickly, just to let you know where I'm coming from. Before I even knew the Word of God, I had an encounter with the Lord, and when he showed up, I was in a glory cloud, and in this glory cloud, I had no control over anything. I just was engulfed and was killed by his love. His love overtook me so greatly that I was dead, and this language started flying out of my mouth, and I realized later it was tongues. But my mind was thinking other things, but it was my spirit that was praying, and the Holy Spirit was praying through me. So I was so filled with God, so filled with the Holy Spirit, that this language came flying out of my mouth, and I was praying in the Holy Ghost. That's what praying in the Holy Ghost is, praying in tongues. Now we're going to talk about tongues. We're going to talk about some of the attributes of tongues. And why don't we just begin right with it? Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You know, we need to know about these things. The Lord paid the price for us that we could have these. These are gifts. These are weapons. This is how wisdom and knowledge comes. We must seek the Lord and ask him for these things. It is important. They're a promise to you, and you'll find this out in the Word of God. Now, I'm not trying to come against anyone, please. I'm not coming against any denomination. I don't want to come against your specific beliefs. What I'm going to declare to you is from the Word of God. Like I said, the Lord says, my people perish for lack of knowledge because we haven't seen the hidden things. We haven't seen and understand his truths of his Word. So let's go right to the Word and let it speak for itself. Amen. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, it says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant, and we don't want to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. As he wills. Now, I want you to understand something, that in spiritual gifts, there is your own personal, and then there is for the edification and the profit of ministry. Okay? So it's the prophet of all, to encourage, to edify. So there's two stages here. There's two separate entities here. And one of them is for personal, and another one is for ministry. And what I see a lot of is that there is confusion between that. Because people say, well, it's only the Holy Spirit that delivers it to you, and that you can only do this at a certain time. Well, there is a difference between when there's a corporate gathering and how the Holy Spirit delivers to each individual one, and there's a difference between individual, personal, okay? Because I still pray in tongues right now. But sometimes my tongues changes when I'm in a corporate worship, or I'm gathered together. Because, you know, and I ask God to allow me to interpret it at certain times, and He'll allow me. The Holy Spirit will quicken me to it. But I just want you to I wanted to share with you right now that we must not be ignorant of these spiritual gifts. And not to be ignorant that these gifts are used for self-edification, for your own personal use, and for profit to the edification of believers, or the body of Christ, or the corporate group of worship. All right, now let's turn to 1 Corinthians 2, 6 through 12. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 2, 6 through 12. Now, it says, are we all there? Praise the Lord. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. But it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Whose Spirit? The Holy Spirit. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. And that is important. We must know the things that are freely given to us by God, because that's what it is. You receive salvation as a gift. Well, all of these other things are a gift also. Remember, all things are done in faith. We receive gifts from God by faith. It's your choice to receive it or your choice to reject it. But God wants to give you all the things to prepare you to make your life easier, because we are in a world of evil world and there's evil all around us. So God has given you all these weapons. He paid the price for you that the Holy Spirit could come and then distribute gifts onto you. But we can refuse a gift if it's given to us, or we can receive a gift. But we want to receive a gift. Amen. Well, let's turn to Genesis 1, 2, please. Genesis 1, 2. Yeah, that sounds good. And it says, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Where was the Spirit of God hovering? Over the space of the waters. He was over the earth. Well, you know what? The Holy Spirit is still hovering over you and me. He's still hovering over this earth, waiting for someone to ask Him to come in. Amen? He's waiting, waiting to enter into these temples. Okay, let's turn to Mark. First chapter in Mark. Glory to God. Remember, we need to have revelation, confirmation, and manifestation. And that's what's going to happen. We need to have a revelation every day. We need to have a revelation of the word. We need to have a confirmation of what's being told, because we have to back everything up with the Word of God. If it doesn't justify with the Word of God, if it's not backed up with the Word of God, it isn't right. Now, like I said, I didn't even know the Word of God when I had my encounter with the Lord. But man, tongues was flying out of my mouth, and I was gloriously changed within seconds. A new creation in Christ Jesus. All things passed away, and behold, all things became new by His grace and His mercy and His love for me and His love for you. So He wants to bring these things to you because He loves you. come on. If you're going to go work out on a car, work in a car, and you know, if you're a mechanic or you don't know much or whatever, first of all, you can't do anything without tools. You can't repair that engine. You don't know anything about the brakes. You don't even, the blinkers, what light bulbs are here or what there. You've got to have the tools. You've got to have the tools to work on this vehicle so that you can accomplish what you went out there to do. So God wants to give us the tools, and those are the gifts of the Spirit, so that we can accomplish what He has sent us out to do. He doesn't want us to send us out blinded into a dark world. He wants to send us out with encouragement, knowing that we're walking with these tools that He's given us, that we can utilize them. Okay, let's go to Mark chapter 1, and I would like to, Mark 1, I guess we can start at verse 9. Hallelujah. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee, and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting, and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. Then a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, on whom I am well pleased." And immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness, and he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him. Hallelujah. Jesus, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit were manifested in the natural realm here. Because you see that Jesus came and was baptized in water. And when he came up, the Holy Spirit came upon him as a dove. So those two right there, the Son of God was manifested in the natural, the dove was manifested in the natural, and then they heard the voice of the Father saying, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So the three of them were manifested in the natural realm at one time. But we did see the Holy Spirit coming down. Now I want to back up a little bit. I want to go back to verse 7. And he said, this is John speaking, he says, because he was preaching, saying, "There comes one after me who is mightier than I, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to stop, to stoop down and loose. I indeed baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." So who baptizes you with the Holy Spirit? Not a man, but Jesus. Isn't that powerful? Jesus baptized you with the Holy Spirit. But remember, Jesus had to come so that we could watch him, so that he could be a witness and an example for me and you of what we were to do. Now, I want you to understand this. I was not baptized in water. The only thing I did was I asked for forgiveness and asked Jesus to come into my heart. And I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, was taken in the cloud, and prayed in tongues immediately. Totally changed, delivered, and healed in His glory. So let's not make this a ritual, religious form, because there are no formulas. I'm telling you, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit and didn't even understand it. But I knew that it was God, and these tongues were coming out of me because I was totally changed, filled with His love. Then afterwards, I was baptized in water to fulfill what God had asked me to do by fulfilling His word, because I have to be obedient. So I was baptized in water, but I was baptized in the Holy Spirit before water. I want you to know that. The only thing I asked for was for forgiveness and asked Jesus to come in my heart. Now let's turn to Joel 2. Joel 2. Are we almost there? Hallelujah. Powerful man of God. Joel 2:28. Joel 2:28. Praise God. Let's read it. And it says, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days." Praise God. Well, see, that's what happened. God is pouring out His Spirit all over the place right now. And He poured out His Spirit on me. And I had my encounter. And let me tell you, after I had my encounter, I was having some dreams, powerful dreams. The Holy Spirit revealed some things that were to come to me. It just blew my mind. But understand this, that this was a promise from God to receive the Holy Spirit. Now let's find out a little bit about the Holy Spirit. Let's find out about these gifts, the gifts of tongues. Praise God. But first, I'd like to go to John 20. Chapter 20 of the Gospel of John, and in verse 19, please. And it says, "And then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, When the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst of them and said, "Peace be with you." Why? Well, Jesus rose from the dead already. These guys were afraid because they hadn't seen Jesus yet. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And you know what? The Lord is also sending you. But there is something else he had to do before he sent you. Now look at this. In verse 22, "And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, Receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit." So Jesus breathed on them. Remember we just said a few minutes ago about where it says Jesus baptizes you in the Holy Spirit. He's the baptizer of the Holy Spirit. So here Jesus breathes on them to confirm what the Word spoke about Jesus being the baptizer. But he breathed on them to sustain them, because after this was going to be Pentecost. But he wanted to sustain them because Jesus was no longer with them. So he didn't want to leave them alone, because he says, talks about in the Word of God, he didn't want to leave these orphans alone. So he breathed upon them and he ascended to the right hand of the Father. All right? So he sustained them with the Holy Spirit. But you'll see that in the day of Pentecost, it was the pouring out of the Holy Spirit and fire. It was the baptism of the Holy Spirit and in fire. Because you'll see that the tongues came upon them when they were overfilled. But anyways, I just wanted you to know that here Jesus breathed upon them. Well, he gave them the Holy Spirit to sustain them. But I want us to go a little bit deeper. So let's go back, and we're in Exodus 19:5-6, to show the purpose of me and you. Why we are the way we are. What's happening with us? Why are things changing? What is our calling? And we got to understand it. That's why we need to have these gifts to discern, because we have a calling. We have been called specifically in Exodus 19. Let's go back there. You know, you're royalty. You are somebody. Remember, the Bible says that you didn't choose God. God chose you. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? So let's go to Exodus 19:5-6, please. And it says, "Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice," what's his voice? The word of God. "And keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel." And of course, me and you are to speak it to the world now. So do you understand that you and I are called to be a kingdom of priests? We are called to be holy. Well, if we're to be priests, we need to know the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. We need to know and understand what our purpose is and utilize these gifts that God has given us, that we can fulfill the fullness of our priesthood. Amen? Okay, let's turn to Matthew 7:7, and let's get some encouragement and understanding. Matthew 7:7-11. "And Jesus said to them, Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened." See, so you and I are to seek and ask for these spiritual gifts. You sought and asked to get salvation, and you got it. So let's seek and ask for these spiritual gifts. In verse 9, "Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil," now he's talking about the fathers of this world, not believers, "know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father, who is in heaven, give good gifts to those who ask him?" Do you understand that? Come on, man. You think that if you ask for the gifts of tongues, your Father's going to give you a serpent? I'm tired of hearing this stuff about, oh, the tongues is of the devil. That's baloney. That's a lie from the devil. There's an importance in tongues. And I'm telling you right now, without tongues, I don't know where I would be. I thank God Almighty that I have been blessed with the gift of tongues, and it's for everyone. and anyone, because there are times when I want to know if God is around, because he said he'll never leave you. He says that we are the temple of God. And sometimes I need that confirmation when I begin to pray in the Holy Spirit. And you choose when you want to pray in the Holy Spirit. He doesn't force anything on you. Remember that. God doesn't force salvation on you. He doesn't force the gifts on you. He doesn't force your love on you. He draws you. Holy Spirit hovers over you and waits and is constantly drawing you. But he doesn't force anything on you. Remember that. Okay? So let's turn to Mark 16:17. And remember, what we ask for, we will receive. You're not going to get anything different. You're not going to get something from the devil. Your Father in heaven isn't going to allow that. So let's remove that from our thoughts and from doctrines of men immediately right now in Jesus' name. And I'm going to verify this with you. Like I said to you, it's going to be the Word that's going to speak. I'm not telling you this. I'm sharing with you the Word of God. I'm sharing you the truth. And it's the truth that makes us free. It's the truth that gives us understanding. And we need to have it. Amen? In Mark 16:17, it reads, "And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues." And also says they will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Are you a believer? Are you saved? Amen. Well then, in the name of Jesus, they will cast out demons and they will speak with new tongues. Well, you and I will speak with new tongues. We have new tongues. If you're willing to receive, if you're still speaking perverseness, you need to have a new tongue in a great way. That means there's still a hindrance there, you know. But God says those who believe will speak with new tongues. They'll speak with new tongues. Well, let me tell you, when I had my encounter with the Lord, the first thing that happened to me was I spake in new tongues. Praise God. Now let's turn to Acts 2. The Word's going to declare the truth to you. Acts 2. I want to hear no more stuff that tongues is only for this person, is only for that person. Baloney. Tongues is for everyone. And to God be the glory. Acts 2, please. Verse 38, please. Let's go back to 37. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. Now this was Peter was sharing with them about Jesus and about what happened with him with the Holy Spirit and about how Jesus rose and died and paid the price for us, and it was the promise of the Lord. In fact, let's go back to 33 since we're right here. It says, "Therefore being exalted to the right hand of God," this is Peter talking and telling them about Jesus, that he went up to be on the right hand of the Father. And it says, "And having from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear." Okay, now let's go back to 37. "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?'" Well, I'm hoping right now that this understanding is coming to you and that you will say, "What shall I do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Now, 39. "For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar, as many as the Lord our God will call." Amen. It is a promise. The Holy Spirit is a promise to you and your children. It's a promise. It's a promise for God. Now, let's go to Acts 1 and verse 5, Acts 1, verse 5, says, "For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." This is Jesus speaking. "And then, therefore, when they had come together, asked him, saying, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel?' And Jesus said to them, 'It is not for you to know the times and seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." You know what? If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're not being a very good witness, because people are going to look at you and see a life change in you. They're going to see this complete different individual. And you know what? You can try in your own strength to do it, but it's not going to work. You may try and fake people for a little while, but you know what? It's not going to work. Because the only way that you are regenerated into a different person is through the Holy Spirit. Amen. So Jesus said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Then you can be a witness to me. Understand it. It is power of the Holy Spirit. Now let's turn to Acts 2 and verse 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, I want you to understand something. Remember, Jesus breathed upon them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. And they did receive the Holy Spirit, all right? But on the day of Pentecost, they got baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, there's a difference. You can receive the Holy Spirit, but there's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit is with tongues because they were overflowing. If you read in verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So the baptism was with the gift of tongues. Amen. They got baptized, overfilled with the Holy Spirit. They had the power of the Holy Spirit. So as they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Praise God. Okay, let's turn to Acts 8, 15 and get more confirmation upon this, all right? Are you receiving this? Are you understanding the importance of receiving the Holy Spirit with tongues? It's the difference of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the infilling of the Holy Spirit. That's why we need to ask to be filled every single day with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Okay, let's go. Let's see, 50. Let's go back to 14. Now, when the apostles who were in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they received Jesus, they sent Peter and John to them, who when they had come there, come down to pray with them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. See, you can be a believer, and it doesn't mean you automatically receive the Holy Spirit. Okay, and you'll see. Because here, they had already received, if you go back to verse 14, you'll see that they had received the word of God while they received Jesus. Then they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as of yet, he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them. They received the Holy Spirit. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the hands of the apostles that the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, give me this power also, that anyone on whom I may lay my hands receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter said to him, your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. Well, the gift of God is a free gift. And this dude, Simon, was a sorcerer, and he had come to the Lord, but you know, he was still trying to go back to his old ways. He was saying, man, I saw this happen. Well, these dudes laid their hands and they got filling with the Holy Spirit. So how did they transfer it? By laying on of hands, because they had the Holy Spirit. So they laid their hands on him and prayed, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. But remember, people can get saved and not have the Holy Spirit. You got to ask for it. Remember, Jesus is the one that baptized you with the Holy Spirit. You can come to repentance and be saved. Now, I want you to understand something. Just because you don't speak in tongues doesn't mean you're not going home. Just because you're not moving in the gifts of God and the gifts of the Spirit doesn't mean that you're not saved. But it's sure a lot easier to be flowing in the Holy Spirit and be empowered by the Holy Spirit and not be empowered by your own. Okay, let's continue on. Let's go to Acts 19 and get more verification. Acts 19. Receive the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Okay, Acts 19. Let's start with, we can start from verse 1. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus and finding some disciples. So he found some disciples. And he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So what he was saying is, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you received Jesus Christ? Understand this? Now, these guys were disciples. They were being taught the Word of God. They were being learned the ways of Christ. Now, there are many out there being learned the ways of Christ, but they have not received the Holy Spirit. And that's what Paul said to them. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? When you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, did you receive the Holy Spirit? So they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. Well, they didn't even know it. And in verse 3, and he said to them, into what then were you baptized? So they said, into John's baptism. So that was a baptism of repentance. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Jesus Christ. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. They spoke with tongues and prophesied. Do you see that? Is that powerful? Hallelujah. So what happened? Paul laid hands on them. Now, I know that some doctrines are they say that, well, this only happened in the time and it was only for the Jews. Well, I want to show you something right now, and I want to bring you to, because how do we know that these disciples weren't Gentiles? But I'm going to show you. Because some people say, well, it was only for the Jews, it wasn't for the Gentiles, and this and that. So let's turn to Acts 15. I just want to clear this up right now because the Holy Spirit is bringing me to this. Praise be to God. Let's start Acts 15:6. Acts 15:6. Now the apostles and the elders came together to consider this matter. And the matter was talking about the conflict over circumcision. I don't want to get into that right now. But they came together. And when there had been much dispute, Peter rose up and said to them, men and brethren, you know that a good while ago God chose among us that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. Okay? So, here it is, the Gentiles by the mouth of Paul, I believe, or the mouth of the disciples, whomever it was, spoke to the Gentiles the word. I think it's Paul. Yes, it is Paul who's speaking this. And in verse 9, it says, so God, who knows the heart, acknowledged them by giving them the what? The Holy Spirit, just as he did to us. And in verse 9, it made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now, let me share this with you. Now, therefore, why do you test God by putting a yoke on the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? Now, because he's trying to bring them back to religion, trying to bring them, these guys back to bondages of the circumcision. But I wanted to share with you and give you reverence, confirmation of the Word of God, that he talks about the Gentiles receiving the Holy Spirit. Now, when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, the overfilling of the Holy Spirit, you get baptized in tongues. You get the gift of tongues. Now, the devil doesn't want you to believe that you can pray in tongues. And I'm going to show you why here in a little while. But I want you to understand that my wife, I got slam dunked in the Holy Ghost. And my tongues was just flying out of me, overfilling. I mean, I couldn't even function in this world for about 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks, because the Holy Spirit was just taking me in places and dreams and visions. And it was just powerful. And now my wife, who had received the Holy Spirit, was desiring the gift of tongues. Well, the devil kept telling her that she didn't get it, she wasn't worthy, all of these things. She would be so upset. She'd splurt out a couple words of tongues, and then that would be it. Well, then about 3 months later, she come out of the bedroom praying in the Holy Ghost. I don't know if it was 3 months, but a little time later, she came out of the bedroom praying in the Holy Ghost because she sought, she asked, and she received. You know, sometimes God is going to give you this for a purpose. The Holy Spirit isn't just for someone to sit around and do nothing. God gives the Holy Spirit and these gifts for ministry so that you can be about his business in truth, spirit, and in power. And also to edify yourself. We need to have these things. We need to have the strength of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so now that you know it was given to the Gentiles, we can disqualify all of these sayings that it was only for the days of the Jews and given to the Jews. That's baloney. And it wasn't just poured out then. because the Spirit of God is being poured out today. People are still getting him. My encounter was just like what happened to Paul on the way to Damascus. Slam dunk. Only I wasn't on a horse. I was laying on a beach bench. Praise God. Hallelujah. So it's still happening. Remember, the Bible talks about God being the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Those things haven't changed. It's doctrines of men. It's our own reasoning. It's the voice of the devil taking heed to the people of God, telling us that you can't receive these things. It's a gift. It's a promise for you and your family. It's a promise from God. It's a gift. And the praying in tongues, to me, is one of the most essential gifts. Even though that people assume that it's the least because it's on the bottom, to me, it is the greatest. It is the greatest gift because I need it. Like I said, when I don't know how to pray, I don't know what to do, I pray in the Holy Spirit. And I choose to pray in the Holy Spirit. It's not something like he possesses me and all of a sudden I start flying in the Holy Ghost. No, I choose to pray in the Holy Spirit and he prays through me. Amen? Now, let's turn to 1 Corinthians, please. 1 Corinthians 14. Oh, wonderful, 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 wonderful. Now, there are certain things that will prevent you from, like I said, not receiving it because you want to do it your way. Because there could be sin in your life. But that's why you got to ask for repentance. Because you want God to do it your way. And he's not going to. Maybe you have fear. Maybe there's certain things holding you back from receiving. But I'm telling you, my brother and sister, it is a gift from God. 1 Corinthians 14, let's start it. And we'll start at verse 1. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to who? God. For you don't speak to men, but you speak to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries of God. Remember, we talked a few minutes ago about the hidden mysteries. All right? And the hidden mysteries. So here you are. You're speaking these hidden mysteries in the Holy Spirit. So you're praying in tongues and you're speaking mysteries of God. Amen. Now, it says that you're speaking to God, not to man. Well, don't you want to speak to God? Don't you want to speak in his language? Pray in the Holy Ghost. You're speaking directly to God. Even though that your mind doesn't have the understanding, although you can interpret it if you request it and God gives you the interpretation. But praying in the Holy Ghost, you're speaking directly to your daddy in heaven. You're speaking directly to God. And I want to speak to my daddy. I don't want to beat around the bush. I want to go right to my daddy. I want to speak to him. And I want to speak the hidden mysteries for my life and the hidden mysteries of God. Now, it says, but he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to who? Man. And he who speaks in tongues edifies himself. Remember I shared with you about there's differences of tongues because there's a place for tongues, whether it's corporate worship or it's yourself. And I'm going to share with you as we go down the line here about the importance of praying in tongues for yourself. So it says, he who speaks in tongues edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. He says, I wish you all spoke with tongues. He said, I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. See, he's saying, man, I wish you all spoke with tongues. He didn't say, only some of you speak in tongues. He said, I wish that you all spoke in tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets that the church may receive edification. He's talking about the edification of the church here, because prophesying is encouraging the body of Christ. He's talking about group, corporate worship. But he was also desiring that they all spoke with tongues for edification. For one who speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not to men but to God. For no one understands or catches his meaning because in the Holy Spirit he utters secret truths and hidden things not obvious to the understanding. But on the other hand, the one who prophesies or interprets the divine will and purposes in inspired preaching and teaching speaks to men for their upbuilding and constructive spiritual progress and encouragement and consolation. He also speaks in a strange tongue, edifies and improves himself. But he who prophesies edifies and improves the church and promotes growth in Christian wisdom, piety, holiness, and happiness. 1 Corinthians 14:14. Let's go down there. It says, hallelujah. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. Well, my spirit is praying when I'm praying in tongues. Do you understand that? Musha takia romo koson takia prantosa. I'm praying to my daddy, and I'm praying in his perfect will for my life. I'm praying the hidden mysteries of God for my life. You understand that? Hallelujah. Now, let's go down a little bit further. For what is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I'll also pray with the understanding, which he meant English. I will sing with the Spirit, and I also sing with the understanding. Otherwise, if you bless with the Spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen at your giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you say? For you indeed give thanks well, but the other is not edified. Now here Paul says, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. Now he didn't say that I thank God that I'm the only one who speaks in tongues. He said, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than you all. So my interpretation is that they all had the gift of tongues. But they all didn't speak as much in tongues as Paul did. He says, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. I want to emphasize that. He didn't say that I thank God I'm the only one who speaks in tongues. He says, I thank God I speak in tongues more than you all understand that. Yet in the church, he says in verse 19, I would rather speak 5 words with my understanding that I may teach others also than 10,000 words in tongues. Okay? Is that powerful? Remember, there's the difference. There's the separation. There's your private prayer time of praying in tongues, and then there's your corporate of tongues and of the gifts of the Spirit. But when you pray in tongues, it's not you that pray, but your spirit that prays. And your understanding is unfruitful. But I'm going to give you a couple examples here. So, let's assume this. The devil hears what you pray, right? Okay. If the devil hears what you pray, he doesn't want you to pray in tongues because he doesn't know what you're praying. Because what you're praying is the perfect will of God for your life. You're praying the hidden mysteries for your life. Remember, it's the Spirit that searches the mind or the heart and reveals it. You can't discern things unless it's through the Spirit. Did you ever see a well? I want you to picture a big well. Remember the woman at the well? And I don't know the technical names of these things, but let's picture the bucket up there. And let's picture that little cranking handle, all right, that lets the bucket down, go in the waters, in the well, and when it picks up the water, you crank it back up, right? Okay, well, I want you to think about when you pray in the Holy Spirit, when you pray in tongues, it's cranking. That's the mechanism that is moving that handle that is bringing that bucket down. But it's not bringing it down just to water. It's bringing it down to rivers of living water, where the hidden mysteries and the mysteries of your life, the perfect will of God of God in your life is in those waters. So as you're praying in the Holy Spirit, that bucket is going down, going down, going down. And when you stop praying in the Holy Spirit, it stops. So you want to continue to pray in the Holy Spirit to that bucket goes down and picks up the rivers of living water, the mysteries of God, and the perfect will for your life, and brings it up to the surface so that you can understand it. So what's happening, if you look at yourself, as you're praying in the Holy Spirit, this bucket is going down into your belly, because out of your belly will flow rivers of living water, and it's picking up these hidden mysteries and the perfect will of God, and bringing it to your mind for understanding. So the more you pray in the Holy Ghost, the more the mysteries of God will be revealed to you, and the more the perfect will of God will be revealed to you. Remember, Paul said, I pray, I wish you all prayed in the Holy Spirit. And then he says, I thank my God that I speak with tongues more than you all. All right? Now, check this out. Wasn't Paul separated for about 12 or 14 years? Look how much of the Bible Paul wrote. Why? Because he was praying in the Holy Ghost, and the hidden mysteries of God was revealed to him. And because of that, he was able to write by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit these wonderful epistles, these wonderful letters to the people of God to encourage them and to guide them to their truth. Paul prayed in the Holy Ghost. He prayed in an unknown tongue. And through that, the mysteries were revealed to him. Amen. Now let's turn to Romans 8:26. Let's go back to 24. Hallelujah. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. Cool. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, also helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray. We do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit, the Holy Spirit himself, makes intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. For he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. According to the will of God. For we know that all things work together for the good to those who love God and to those who are the called according to his purpose. Well, you're called according to your purpose. And when I don't know what to pray, when I get up in the morning, I don't know what to pray. So I start to pray in the Holy Ghost, because I know I'm praying the perfect will of God. And I'm praying the hidden mysteries. And sometimes it's not manifested right there and then, but it's manifested down the road. Sometimes I'll get up at 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm not saying all the time. It's once in a great while. And I'll just have to pray. And I know I'm praying for somebody. And I'm praying in the Holy Ghost. I could be praying for whomever, somebody in Australia. I don't know. But I could be praying in the Holy Ghost. I could be praying for you. Hallelujah. So when I know not what to pray, as it says, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray, for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knoweth what the mind or the plan of the God is of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. It's important that we pray in the Holy Ghost. Now, I know that some of you are going, well, look at what happened when they were praying in the Holy Spirit and all these other languages came. Well, I'm going to answer that question shortly, okay? So let's continue on. Let's see what else praying in the Holy Ghost does for us. Let's go to Jude 20. Jude 20, let's go to it. And what does it say? Come on, what does it say? But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in what? English? No. Spanish? No. Portuguese? No. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Manta ki tarabasa. So, what happens? You're building yourself up. You're building your most holy faith up by praying in the Holy Ghost. Amen? Glory to God. So you want to pray in the Holy Ghost. Now, if you're building yourself up, if you'll turn to Ephesians 5.18. Come on, quickly, quickly. Ephesians 5.18. It says, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. So we want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You know how sometimes I get filled with the Holy Spirit? By praying in the Holy Ghost, because I'm stirring myself up. I'm stirring myself up. I'm stirring faith up by praying on the Holy Ghost. I'm sending the bucket down in the rivers of living water. I'm bringing it up that I can have discernment, that I can have the hidden mysteries of God revealed to me, that I can have the perfect will of God revealed to me. Like I said, it might not come right then and there, but I know that by praying in the Holy Ghost, something is happening. It may happen 2 days later, but or protecting me from something, or opening a door that I didn't know needed to be opened. Well, since we're in Ephesians, let's go to 6:18-19. Hallelujah. Says, praying always with all prayer and supplications in the what? Spanish? No. In the Holy Ghost. In the Spirit. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Wow. Utterance. Remember we just talked about utterance. Utterance from the Holy Spirit. Utterance. So praying always in the Holy Spirit, being watchful to this end with your supplications for all saints. And praying, Paul asked them, pray for me that I may speak the mysteries of the gospel. Why? Because he's been praying in the Holy Ghost and the hidden mysteries are being revealed to him in a great way. In a great way. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians 14, please. 1 Corinthians. So desire to pray in the Holy Spirit. Desire to pray. It's a promise to you. It's a gift for you. It will edify you, building your faith up, praying the perfect will of God, and revealing the mysteries of God. I mean, why not? Not only that, the devil doesn't know what you're praying. Hallelujah, because he's always trying to intercede and destroy your prayers, what you're praying. 1 Corinthians 14, 39. Praise be to our Father. Therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy, and do not forbid. Let me repeat this. Do not forbid to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decently in order. Do not forbid. So, my friend, if you're being stopped from praying in tongues, the gospel says it's wrong. Do not forbid to speak in tongues. That's all I have to say about that. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Let's go to Isaiah and get a fuller understanding. Isaiah 28. Praise be to my Father. Ambakataraya romoso. I love to pray in the Holy Ghost. Isaiah 28. 10 through 12, please. For a precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue, this was prophesied about this, he will speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest with which you may cause to weary to rest. And this is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear. Now, is that what's happening? He's talking about, for the stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. Well, what are we doing? Stammering lips and another tongue. This was prophesied. Well, then let's go on. To whom he said, this is the weary to the rest, and this is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear. They would not hear that this gift was from God, that it was for everyone, because it gives you rest in your weary time, and it brings refreshing by praying in the Holy Spirit. Isaiah prophesied this. It's all in the Word. Romans 12:2. Hallelujah. This is a quick and simple teaching about tongues. I'm not about to get into all these other details. I want to reveal to you that tongues is a gift for every believer. Every single believer. Romans 12:2, please. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And what do? By praying in the Holy Ghost, you are praying the perfect will of God for your life. You're praying the hidden mysteries of God for your life. You're sending the bucket down into the rivers of living water, and you're getting revelations. You know, there are times when I pray in the Holy Spirit, and the Lord will allow me to interpret. He'll give me a word. Sometimes in my inner man, I'll have a waking, a vision of direction, all sorts of things. But it's the Holy Spirit who allows us to pray in these tongues. So when we're praying in tongues, it's a gift from the Holy Spirit. You're allowing, because our flesh and blood can't go to the other side. Well, the only way to go to the other side is how? By the Spirit. Remember, Spirit means breath. So when you're praying in the Spirit, you're also praying out loud in the Holy Ghost, and you're going to the other side. You're speaking to your Heavenly Father, and what you're sowing is what you're reaping is what you've sowed. So if you sowed in the Holy Ghost, not only are you praying to the Father, but He's giving something back to you. Because why? It just says praying in the Holy Ghost reveals the hidden mysteries. So if you're praying in the Holy Ghost, there's a cycle. Something is going back. Something is going forward. It's constantly moving. The Holy Spirit is making intercession for us. Well, we pray in the Holy Ghost, and that's the intercession for us. We're praying the perfect will of God. Amen? Praise be to God. 1 Corinthians 1 Corinthians 12:28, please. Hallelujah. I know I'm going to answer that question for you very shortly about when they prayed in other languages. Okay, so hold tight. 1 Corinthians 12:28, and it says, "And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues." Now, let's keep going on to 13:1. "Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I become sounding brass or clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all the mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but not have love, I have nothing." Understand that? Always ask for God's love. Continue to ask for some filling of His love. Because if we're doing this without love, it doesn't profit anything. Nothing at all. But here in 1 Corinthians 12:28, He's saying God has sent some in the church, first apostles, second prophets, teachers, and after the miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. You know, there are times when I'm praying, and there'll be a different tongue. But I want you to go back to this first sentence that says, He has set some in the church. This is for ministry, diversities of tongues. But I know myself, my tongues change sometimes. Sometimes I sound like I'm Chinese, sometimes I sound like I'm French, sometimes I don't know what. But it's the Holy Spirit who determines the difference of tongues. Now, that's the difference. I'm going to pray in tongues all the time. And tongues is available for you. But the diversities is given by the Holy Spirit. So if the Holy Spirit puts in me a different tongue while I'm praying in tongues, that's his purpose. I may not know what it is for. Okay? Now, I'm going to share with you. Let's turn to Acts 2:11. I'm going to give you a revelation, confirmation, and manifestation. Acts 2:11. Now, these guys were all praying in the Holy Ghost because they got baptized in the upper room on the day of Pentecost, and they were speaking in other languages. And in verse 11, it says, "Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God." What were they doing? They were revealing the wonderful works of God, the mysteries of God. But others were hearing it. So they were all amazed, perplexed, saying to one another, "Whatever could this mean?" Others mocking and said, "They are full of new wine." But of course, Peter came out and let them know. And Peter said, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to the men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, "Let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel." And we spoke these things already. So what was happening? Sometimes, remember, they were in corporate worship. They were all praying in the Holy Spirit. Tongues of fire came upon them. They got baptized in fire. And they got baptized in the Holy Spirit. All right? They got filled, overflowing with the Holy Spirit. The tongues came flying out of their mouth. They were beginning to speak in other languages. They spake. Some of them spake in Cretans and Arabs and other languages that were there. Why? Well, see, sometimes the Holy Spirit will deliver diversities of tongues. See, they were in a group there. So the diversities of tongues was given to each one because there was others that were around them that didn't know about God, but God wanted to reveal it to them in the Spirit, so God allowed them to hear their own language, even though it may not have sounded like their own language, or it might have sounded their own language. I don't know. But when I'm praying in the Holy Ghost, if the Spirit of God falls upon me and we're in group or corporate worship, we could pray in the Holy Ghost, okay? And there'll be somebody in that room that could be from another country, Russian, whatever, that does not know about God. And God can call out his name through what you're praying in the Holy Spirit, can tell him a mystery, and can reveal himself to him by what you're praying in the Holy Ghost, by praying in tongues. Do you understand it? That's what happened here. Remember, they all said it. Man, these dudes, they're praying in our languages. I mean, there was an assortment of diversities of cultures there. All different people, Cretans, Arabs, and all sorts of different people, and they were all praying in their languages. So these guys are in the upper room, praying in the Holy Ghost. They come walking down. They're going, "What's the matter with these dudes?" And they said, "Man, we're drunk in the Holy Ghost." They were having a good old time, but they were praying and the Holy Spirit revealing the mysteries of God in their languages so that they can understand. That's called diversities of tongues. All right? Diversities of tongues. So there are times when, you know, you can pray in different languages. We don't know. I mean, there are times, man, one day I got hit by the Holy Spirit, flew off of my couch, began to roll on the floor and praying in the Holy Ghost. I was praying this language. It sounded like Chinese, then went to French, and then went to this. And I was rolling back and forth. And then all of a sudden, the Lord revealed to me some hidden mysteries. And they were powerful, powerful. So I want you to understand that there's a difference. So let's go back to 1 Corinthians 14:12. For even so, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. That's what he's talking about. We're to excel the edification of the church. And we already talked about this other part. For therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. See, you can pray to interpret your own tongue. Amen. Or that in the corporate group, in the corporate worship, you can also pray to interpret what's being spoken. Now, I want us to go to, you can stay in the same chapter, but let's go over to 20. It says, brethren, do not be children in understanding. However, in malice, be babes, but in understanding, be mature. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips, I will speak to this people, and yet for all that they will not hear me, says the Lord. Therefore, tongues are for a sign, not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. But prophesying is not for unbelievers, but for those who believe. Therefore, if the whole church comes together in one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those who are uninformed or unbelievers, will they not say that you are out of your mind? But if all prophesy and an unbeliever or an uninformed person comes in, he is convinced by all, he is convicted by all. And thus the secrets of his heart are revealed. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly among you. Well, here's the difference of speaking in tongues in corporate or speaking in tongues for self-edification. But my friend, speaking in tongues is a gift from God. For me, I find it to be one of the greatest gifts because it edifies, it brings strength. And the Bible talks about it, blessing God. And we want to bless God by praying in the Holy Ghost. So we bless him. Now, sometimes we get together, and if the Holy Spirit shares with me, I want everybody to pray in the Holy Spirit, we do. And we bless God in the Holy. We bless God in the Holy Spirit. A guy gets blessed too, that's me. But we bless the Lord in the Holy Spirit by praying in the Holy Spirit. And we're just blessing him and thanking him. Remember, you can sing in the Holy Ghost. You can pray in the Holy Ghost, and you'll get the hidden mysteries. You'll get the perfect will of God. Don't delay. Allow God to work through you. Now, in conclusion, there are gifts to edify the church as a corporate body with service and that of self-edification, but all the same spirit. Tongues is a gift from God to you, just as salvation is a gift. You can only walk in whatever you hear or whatever you have been taught, the truth is in the Word. Remember, those other guys that were the disciples, they didn't know about the Holy Spirit. But when the apostles laid hands on them, they got filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues. The Word testified by itself what speaking in the Holy Ghost does. Now, I'm going to ask you right now, by faith, receive and begin to pray in the Holy Spirit as I pray for you. Just picture the hands of God laying on you, Jesus breathing on you to receive the Holy Spirit. Just start praying in the Holy Ghost as I begin to pray for you. Father, your word says that it's a promise to receive the Holy Spirit. It's a gift. Lord, you said that the gift of tongues is a promise to all being filled with the Holy Spirit and the edification of oneself by praying in the Holy Ghost. Lord, I'm asking right now in the name of Jesus that every one of these listeners to this tape, Father, as I apply the blood of the Lamb upon them, as I rebuke doubt and fear and unbelief coming against them, as I bind their minds to the mind of Christ in the name of Jesus, Lord, I ask that you would touch them and fill them and allow the gift of the Spirit of God to manifest through them right now in the name of Jesus. So my friend, be filled with the Holy Spirit and begin to pray in tongues. The easiest thing I can tell you is pray in everything but English and allow the words to utter through your lips. The Bible says, open your mouth and he'll fill it. Bushatakaya romasi, imbakotayam potaya romaso, abrokya frotoramaya kya suntakya karamatosi, ibu torobasoto shuntukikya romaso, amba kya tora kya suntaki. Just keep asking, keep seeking. Like I said, this can happen to you as you're driving down the road. You could be doing laundry, ironing, you could be at work. All of a sudden, you'll find yourself praying in the Holy Ghost. It's a gift from God. Receive it by faith and utilize it. It is a tool for your use. Use it for your advantage. Your daddy gave it to you and paid the price for you. God bless. I love you. I apply the blood of Jesus upon you. And I command you, devil, you ain't going to steal the seed in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I ask that your perfect will be done on their lives, and they will go forth bearing fruit for your glory all of their days in Jesus' name.